119th Psalm. We're just going to read three verses today. 119th Psalm, verses 33 through 35. Psalm 119, beginning in verse number 33. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 35. It says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Heavenly Father, I pray that you would now bless the reading of your word and give us a good evening, a good time of fellowship to follow, as well as time in your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm. It's amazing how many times you can mention the Word of God and the testimonies of God, the statutes of God, and it never gets old. There's this recurring theme that the Word of God really is designed to be a daily part of our lives. Because if you can go through 176 verses, almost every single one of them mentioning the Word of God, and yet it's still new insights to be found each and every verse. It is an allegory of what should be happening in our lives. That it doesn't matter how many times you get up and read the Word of God. Doesn't matter how many times you've read it throughout your life. Doesn't matter how many times or how many verses you have memorized. There will be something for you to be to find that God has for you each and every day. His mercies are new every morning, and when we experience His mercies and we understand who He is by the from His Word, it is a beautiful thing, and it's how we are designed. It's how God has designed it for us to stay in communion with Him. And we are supposed to walk in His Spirit, but how do we know how to walk in the Spirit? If we don't have context, we don't have anything to help us therewith. Then we're just, you know, well, I. We have different spirits. The Bible says we need to try the spirits, whether they be of the Lord. Excuse me. Now, without the understanding that we get from the Word of God, we cannot know whether that spirit be of God or not. Because the Holy Spirit of God will always uplift the Word of God. And so for us to know how we have to live our lives, we need to know that the Word of God needs to be a daily part of it. Otherwise, what we think of the Holy Spirit is going to get further and further from the truth. And we can be, we can be led away of our own lusts and our own deceit. And I know so many people who have gone so far away and yet still in their self-righteous pride think that they are walking in the Spirit and doing the will of God. I was just going through discipleship this week, and as part of that we're reading through John chapter 8, 9, and 10, and it never ceases to amaze me how the Pharisees, witnessing the miracles of God, still thought they were doing the Lord's work the whole time in resisting our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were surrounded by the Word of God, but more than the Word of God, they had taken the rules, and they were using the Word of God to control people, and they weren't really looking for the truth of God's Word. And as a result, they had no Holy Spirit of God that was leading them. They were of their father, the devil, as the Lord Jesus Christ would explain. And the reason that they did that is the reason that they got to that point is because they weren't truly looking for the understanding found in the Word of God. They were just using it for their own devices. And here we see in verses 33 through 35 that the Word of God it can be a perfect guide, and it can be a discerner of our heart, and it can give us the proper motive. And there's so many things that can come from the Word of God But we can also manipulate it. There are false teachers. There are people all across this world who use this very book to lead people astray. And so we can't just be focused on the fact that as long as we have the Word of God, that's all we need. No, we need to understand the Word of God with the proper context and with the proper desire to understand what the Lord is telling us. That's why I love here in verse 33, as it begins, it says, "Teach me, O Lord." He says who he wants his teacher to be. Because we can take the Word of God, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God illuminating the Scriptures to you, if you don't have the Lord as your teacher, as you are reading His Word, you can make it say whatever you want to. There's that old illustration that's been used forever that, if you can take anything out of context, you can prove there's no God from the Bible. Because I can read in Psalms chapter 2 where the words are found, there is no God. But we also understand that it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." But you can find those words, "there is no God," in the Bible. But in context, we understand that that's a silly statement. That's not what the Bible is saying. But if you're trying to manipulate and twist the words of God, that can be done. It can be done, but if you have a true desire to know what the Word of God says and to be taught, excuse me, by the Lord Himself, then you'll be kept and you will have understanding. And we see that here in verse, as it begins in verse number 33, that the Lord needs to be our teacher. In order for us to stay on the path that God has laid out for us, in order for us to have the Word of God truly be that lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path, it is a light and a lamp, but the Word of God will not necessarily dictate the direction that you're going. Only the Lord will do that. He is our teacher and He is our guide. If we're not trusting in Him, and if we don't establish a relationship with Him, then we will continue. Then we can use the Word of God to be a light, and it can show us, excuse me, the very next step. I apologize. I lost my voice completely Sunday night, and it's still kind of coming back. So pray for me. I'll be fine. Thank you. We see this picture painted here, and we'll continue in verse, and as we get further, in verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So we know that the Word of God can direct our light, but it's not necessarily going to dictate our path. You see, that is up to what our desire is to follow, whether or not our desire is to keep following our teacher. That's what we see in verse number 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." How do you stay in the Word of God to the end? How do you stay on the right path to the end? You have to remember that this Word of God and and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ are one and the same. You can't just take this word and use it for your devices, because I can start to put my thoughts and my heart into this, and I can find the verses that I want to abide by, and I can find the verses that I think are more important than others, and I can take things out of context, and I can make it say whatever I want it to. But if I understand that it's just God's word, and my heart is to stay close to Him, that is the only way that the Word of God can be used to keep us on the straight and the narrow to the very end. So the first thing I see, if we want to endure to the end, if we want to have the Word of God be that constant light, not just a light to our path, but make sure it is lighting the right path forward, that we stay along the way. In order for that to happen, first we need to know that we have to have the right teacher. We have to understand that "teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." If you the Christian life, the race that we run is a marathon, and it's something that we want to get to the end. We want to make sure that we don't just burn bright and fast, and then 2 or 3 weeks later we don't know. You know, it's a struggle just to get up and go to church. That's not the kind of Christian life that the Lord wants for us. He wants us a steady, daily dependence on Him, where every day we wake up and we die daily, and we understand that today is a day where I want the Lord to be the center of my life. It's not something where I've just got to try with all my strength. No. Again, if you're putting your strength into this word, you're becoming your own teacher. And if the blind lead the blind, shall they not both fall into a ditch? I mean, that you can't teach yourself anything. The way you're going to keep them unto the end is if the Lord is your teacher. And He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. The teacher matters. Who you are doing this for matters. I remember for the first 10 years of my education, I was homeschooled, and my mom was my teacher. And there were days when I applied myself more than others. I always applied my. There were a few days when mom was either at a ladies' meeting or she was somewhere else, and mom was no longer my teacher. Dad was my teacher, and I applied myself a whole lot better when dad was my teacher, because I understood when dad was my teacher, I had better pay attention, and I had better focus, because he didn't have to run that marathon. He knew this was his one or two days, a semester, or every 9 weeks, where he was going to be my teacher. So he put in 110% into it. And there was no tomfoolery. There was no going this way or that way. We had to focus, and we had to do it right. And I remember those lessons where my dad taught, because the stakes were high, and we had to pay attention very, very well. And even to this day, I remember the things that my dad taught me. Those days where he taught me, because it was something where I had to focus, and I understood, because this teacher has a high standard. This teacher, and plus, I just, like every young boy, I wanted to make my dad proud. And so when I had an opportunity to be taught by my dad, it was different. I paid attention, and I still remember those lessons to this day. It wasn't just in school, but I can tell these, I can tell even better than my dad can, the stories that he used to tell me as a child. I remember my favorite thing, when dad would come home at 5 o'clock, he'd come walking into the house about 5:30 or so when he got off work, and, you know, we'd hear that door open, and all of us, the kids, in unison, we'd say, "Daddy's home!" We'd all yell it out, and it was just a super exciting time. The first thing we'd do after he had eaten his dinner, we'd go and say, "Dad, tell us a story from when you were a kid." It was our favorite thing to tell us a story from when he was a kid. And I remember those stories better than he does now, because probably only half of them were true. But I didn't care. It was great because my dad was spending time with me, and the teacher mattered. I've heard lots of stories throughout my life, and I don't remember half of them. I remember very few of them, but those ones that my dad told me, I could tell you every one of my dad's childhood stories that he told me when I was a kid. Because the teacher was saying it, I'm remembering it to the very end. I'll remember it till the day I die. Because those were precious memories. Because I knew who my teacher was and who was speaking and who was listening to me. See, if you want the Word of God to mean something to you, you got to remember who's talking to you. You see, if the Word of God has gotten stale or stagnant, maybe it's because you're looking for your own, what you want to see in there. You're looking for your own devices, or you're looking for something for you, or you're looking at it selfishly. If you'll just come back to the understanding that this is the Lord speaking to you. This is your God, your Father talking to you. He's giving His heart and pouring out His heart. The stories that are in this book are God telling you these stories. We remember that and we focus back on that. It'll change the way we look at the Bible. It'll add a new freshness to it. Because that is how God has designed it. This is His love letter to us. And He has left it for us to read and for all of us to know that He is our God. And we can have a conversation with Him every time we open up this book. Secondly, if we want to have the Word of God be the impact in our lives that God wants it to be, we need not only to know that we have the right teacher, we also need to know that we have the right subject matter. It says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." It says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law." You see, you can know everything about this law. You can know everything about this book. You can know that the Lord is the one who has given it to you, and you love it. But you can love the Bible in a very general sense, or you can love it even in a very I have it all memorized, but in a Pharisaical way, and you never allow it to be applied to your life. See, there are Bible college students were notorious for this. When I was in Bible college, we used to stay up till odd hours of the night discussing the theological things of the Bible. And we had fun doing it. It was a pastime. But in the end, you know, you would think with all the time that we spend talking about how much we love the Lord and how precious the Word of God was, we'd get up and we would be holier. We'd be able to get to class on time. We'd be able to make our lives better, but that very rarely was the case. Just because we spent more time talking about God and more time in His Word did not automatically make us better Christians. It didn't make us live our lives any better before the Lord. Because even though we knew the teacher, we knew God was our teacher, we were invested in making this a part of our lives, we didn't take that knowledge and apply it to understanding, because there is a difference between being taught something and being shown or being taught to the point of understanding. I was taught a whole lot of things in my life that to this day I don't understand. I was taught pre-calculus, but I never really understood it. I mean, I'm sure I did at some point because I passed it somehow. But in the end, I was taught about integrals and derivatives and things like that. All these, you know, terms that may be sparking something way back in your mind somewhere. And I was taught them. But there were parts of it I did not even understand. I went to the point where I understood enough to pass the test, and that was it. And there would maybe have been this spark of a desire at some point, being like, I'd like to understand that better. But then I click on one YouTube video. Every now and then I'll be like, you know what? I want to understand calculus. So I click on one YouTube video. About 15 minutes later, I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just not good because it's just, I'm fine. But I understand that. Even though I was taught this stuff, I was taught the basics, the knowledge of all this high math, I never got an understanding of it. And so I don't think of the world in terms of integers and derivatives and all those higher math. I know people. I know mathematicians. There was a world-renowned Peruvian mathematician who actually came to Russia, and he attended our church there in Russia for a little bit. And he was a world-renowned genius mathematician in a specific field. And I would have conversations with him, and he would talk in terms of the whole world he saw as numbers. It was just fascinating to speak to him because he understood it, and he didn't just have knowledge of it. He knew exactly. Now he still wasn't very athletic, but he knew the theory of exactly when he threw a ball. He could picture and write out the equations of what needed to happen just on a piece of paper in a matter of seconds. Things that would take me all day to figure out, that, you know, but he would just be like, oh yeah, that's this x plus y equals, you know, something. And I'm just, it was amazing just to talk with someone whose mind worked to that point. And it was fascinating to see the understanding in his mind. He was using the same numbers that we all use, but to him they meant something different. And he saw the world from a mathematical point of view. You see, when we have the Word of God before us, it's one thing to just read it. But have you ever noticed there are some people who read it and then they go throughout life, and when they have a situation or there's a problem that arises their way, they'll quote a verse and they'll start applying that to their life. And it means something to them. And or somebody will, as they go through life, they'll see things in a situation, and whereas somebody will struggle to tithe their entire life, somebody it's as nothing to them, or somebody struggles to share Christ with others. But to others, they've gotten to the point where, no, that's just, they understand. There's an understanding there that what God says here is real, and I need to make it a part of my life. There's a very big difference between knowledge and understanding. There are people who know great amounts. They have much of the Bible memorized. And yet when it comes down to understanding and actually living it out before in their lives, before people, you really can't tell a difference between them and other people who really don't know Christ at all. It's very possible for us to get to that point. And the difference there is that we need to know that it's not that our relationship with the Lord is not automatically going to make us grow each and every day. Just because the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and our God the Father is your God, that does not mean that you are going to grow closer to Him each and every day. Just reading your Bible does not mean you're going to be more spiritual tomorrow as you were today. You have to. It takes the Holy Spirit of God and to work in your heart. And then that becomes a desire to turn that knowledge into understanding. We all know that 1 + 1 = 2, but did you know calculus and everything is based on the same fundamental theory of math that 1 + 1 = 2 is? The thing is, none of us, or I can't say none of us, but very few of us have the desire, enough desire, to turn that 1 + 1 = 2 into understanding that x squared plus 3ax plus b squared equals XYZ. You know, that's just we don't have the desire. And because we don't have that desire, we don't understand. You see, the difference between knowledge and understanding is the desire to make knowledge understanding. And desire comes from the heart. We see that here in the end of verse 34. He says, "Yea, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." You see, this concept of understanding is a self-propagating fire. Have you ever noticed when you start to get something and it clicks, you get excited about it for a little bit. And you really want to know more about it. I love watching JD. He's just starting preschool. And today he wrote, he's been working on penmanship for the past few weeks. But I happened to be in the room this morning as Michelle's going through. And he wrote a big E. And for the first time, he did it perfect the first time. He did a big E. And, you know, when he was done, she didn't even need to give him any affirmation. When it was done, he looked at it. He just started giggling. And then that's the first time he's ever shown any interest in penmanship. Because then right after that, he did a U. You know, and it for the past year, really, she's been trying to get him to get excited about penmanship, but he's such a perfectionist and he could see it wasn't right. And so he didn't want to do it. He hated the class, but today he loved it because he had the understanding. It finally clicked. Oh, this is what I need to do. He did it, and then he did it again. And then he was ready to start another letter when he never wanted to start another letter. You see, because understanding is a self-propagating fire. When that starts to click, when that clicks, and you know, I understood something here that is beneficial for me. That doesn't just mean, it's not just words on a page. This is opening up into my life, and this is giving me encouragement for my day. And when that begins to happen, you want more. You want it to happen again, and you want to know the deeper treasures of the Word of God and how it can continue to apply into your life. You see, when you see God come through, when you see the promises of God live out before you, and you step out by faith and you listen to the Bible when it says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." And you apply that to your job and you say, "Okay, I don't care that everybody else is slacking off. I'm going to do my hardest because I'm doing it unto the Lord and not unto men." And when you see the Lord bless that, and you have that understanding, and the Lord, and you see that that's really what it means. I just need to have the faith to apply this to my life, and God will bless, and God will be there, and He will be glorified, and it will inspire you to continue. Because when you get that spark, and when that understanding happens, and you realize this is real, these aren't just words on a page. When we truly understand it, when we truly come and apply it to our lives in faith, and God blesses. It's addictive. It's a self-propagating fire. That's how our lives go from being stagnant, just going through the motions, to actually being alive and that fire within us for living for God. It happens because of the understanding of God's word and how it applies to our life. That's the only way that we're going to be able to observe it with our whole heart. You see, it takes a desire to make it, turn it from knowledge and understanding. But the great thing about it is if you will desire to put the word of God into understanding in your life, that understanding then produces more desire. And so that is the only way to continue in and continue and endure till the end in seeking the law of God and seeking his judgments and applying them to your life. Because with each step, the Lord takes that understanding and you realize this works. It really works. This truly is the word of God. And it isn't just words on a page. It really works for life. And when you start beginning to realize that, and God proves it over and over again, it becomes a self-propagating fire that you just get more and more excited about. And your heart gets more, and that desire of your heart gets more and more until it gets to the point, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Where that's all you want to do and all you want to think about is, how can the Lord use me today? How can the word of God show itself real in my life today? And that's your greatest desire, because your whole heart is in it. It comes down to verse 35, and he says, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. See, this is where we see that path open up before us. See, the word of God, if you just take it, if you don't understand who your teacher is and that this is the Lord that you're following, and these are just words on a page, you're never going to know the path. You may see the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots in the Bible. The whole world, they know thou shalt not commit adultery. The whole world, they can quote one or two Ten Commandments to you. They know the thou shalls and the thou shalt nots, but that's all the Bible is to them, is a list of rules or words on a page, an archaic book that doesn't mean anything today. And because that's all it is to them, they don't see the path that it lays out. Now you look in the individual, there are some verses that are hard. Jesus Christ, he lost most of his disciples because he gave a hard saying when he began speaking of himself as the bread of life. And he went deep into who he was, and that people have to eat his body, and people were not ready for it, and that was not they just didn't understand what he was saying, and because they didn't understand, they got frustrated and they walked away. And we see that happened because they were looking, they wanted just the just tell me the thou shalls and the thou shalt nots. All they wanted was to see, Lord, tell me what to do so that I can get bread. Tell me what to do so that I can get your blessing. But that God was, Jesus was not interested in them just seeing his word and seeing his life as a bunch of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. He wanted to let them know, and he was telling them, you have to be a part of me. Everything that I am, you need to be a part of me. That I need to abide in you, and you need to abide in me. If you're abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a part of him, then and only then will you truly understand, and you will truly know the path of life that God has set for you. You see, people get so frustrated because they only want to see the day, the step in front of them. And oftentimes God does lead us by faith where he'll only show us one step at a time. That's oftentimes how he works. And we have to trust him day by day. But if he has our whole heart, and our heart is in his, and we know that, and he knows that we are committed to him, no matter what befall, he's going to be more likely to let us know that he's going to show us the whole path. He's going to show us a little bit more, because he wants us to know that I've got great things in store for you. I remember when I was called to Russia. Back to Russia as a missionary, as a 16-year-old boy. I didn't ask the Lord to call me at 16. I had been called to preach when I was 12. But then when I was 16, it was just when I was living, you know, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that, but the Lord allowed me to go through a situation when I was 16 and was beat up by a bunch of skinheads on a train platform. And in that moment, as my brother and I were I had just been hit in the mouth, and they were going through our things. And he opened the leader. He opened up my backpack, and he found in there a Bible and my American passport. And he found my American passport first. And he said, "Oh, you're American." And I said, "Yeah, I'm an American." And then he said, "Oh." So I knew I was in trouble, and then he pulled out my Bible, and he's like, "What is this?" And I so wanted to just say, "No, that's just something my friend put it in there," you know, because I knew the skinheads, they are anti-American, they're anti-God. That was what they were, and if he knew I was an American, and I knew there was no hope for me to get out of that unscathed, that it was going to be bad. But the Holy Spirit of God worked in my heart at that moment, and he said, "No, this is I've brought you here for such a time as this." And so I took a leap of faith, and I said, "Okay, Lord, you're here with me. I'm gonna stand for you." And I told him that is the word of God. It's our God in heaven telling you that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. We'll believe in him. And we can know that he's forgiven us of our sins, and we can live with him eternally. And all the other guys, they just laughed. But that one leader who was looking at me, I can only assume that the Lord just touched his heart in a special way. And I remember he stuck my Bible back in. I remember to this day, he stuck my Bible back in my backpack, stuck my passport back in there, closed it up and handed it to me, and motioned to his buddies, "Let's go." And I remember being overwhelmed with the understanding that they were as confused as I was. They didn't know. They thought they were going to get to beat up an American tonight, and that wasn't. But that wasn't in. Wasn't what the Lord had. The Lord wouldn't let them do that. And they walked away. And I remember just being overwhelmed with the presence of the Lord and understanding that this is God is real. And I fell on my knees, and up to that point, I had always trusted on my dad's ability to get through out of sticky situations. We had a lot of them, but our whole ministry was, "Oh, my dad's the missionary, I'm just the missionary kid." But on that day, God showed me that if I would follow him, then he could be my dad when my dad couldn't be my dad. You know, that he would watch over me in times when my dad wouldn't be there. And I realized then and there that I could trust my Heavenly Father. And he worked in my heart, and he showed me something that he did. He showed me a path. You know, it wasn't just the next day. He said, "I want you. I have a plan for you to come back to Russia." The Lord called me, and he said, "You're going to be a missionary to Russia." And I don't know how I knew it. It was a still small voice. It was just this understanding that this was this burden that if the Lord could continue to use me that way, I would want to do it forever. And although he's changed that. That path now, and here I am, but I know just as strongly that God has us here at Bellingham Baptist Church, and he has us here to shine the light to Whatcom County, because God is when he works in us and when he sees our faith, he shows us not just the next step. The Word of God can show us the next step for each and every day. Because it's a light unto our path. But when you truly go in the path of his commandments and you delight in them, then God shows you more. And he shows you that, "Hey, I've got a plan for you, not just for today." And I know for a fact that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But I know, because I know the path, because I've seen the path laid out before me in my life, I know that if God tarries, that if God gives us another week, or whether it's another week, or whether it's a month, whether it's a year, whether it's 10 years, I know that the path of God will be good and perfect, because I delight in it, and because I've seen it happen in my life. You see, if all you've ever done is just done the bare minimum to read your Bible and to apply it to your lives in all the safe ways, then God's never going to show you the whole path. You're never going to have that confidence that you can trust him in everything and for everything, because you've never seen it lived out in your life. You may just be faithful enough to trust him for that day. And if that's where you're at, that's fine. Keep trusting him for the day. But there comes a time that if you, once you observe it with your whole heart and you've invested your whole heart into following God, then you will be so convinced that His path is perfect. You will be 100% convinced that I can observe it in all things, and I can go in because I know that His path, no matter where it takes me, no matter how far it goes, whether it's to safe places or unsafe places, if it's His path and it's the one that He has made me to go down, then I will be just fine, and I will be in. It will be my delight. So today, ask the Lord. Lord, remind me that this is You speaking and You're my teacher. That's the first step. After that, you have to say, Lord, I want this to be understanding. I don't just want to know You in a head knowledge or even in a depth of knowledge. I don't want to just feel close to You. I want to see evidence of it in my life. I want to know that this makes a difference in my life and that I have understanding. And as you are started, and as you begin to become part of that self-propagating fire, where you understanding grows on understanding and feeds your desire to have more understanding, and then once it's gotten to the point where your whole heart is all you have a desire to do is to seek God and see Him work in your life and to see this Word of God lived out in your life, once you've gotten to that point, then you're going to know that whatever path God has set before me, I know that it's going to be perfect and I'm going to delight in it because He is good. And He doesn't just show me the, and He's not just faithful for each step along the way, but if he tarries and if He has, I know He has a plan for me 10 years from now. And if I stay on that path, I will be delighting in Him 10 years from now. There are no regrets if you're on the path of the Lord, if you just stay there. So, follow your teacher, seek His understanding, and know that His path will be your delight. Let's all stand to our feet and bow our heads.